The following KOPN podcast is made possible by the generous donations of listeners like you. Please consider a donation to listener-supported community radio, KOPN. You can donate securely on our website at kopn.org.
And you're listening to KOPN 89.5 FM, Bend, Missouri's source for in-depth news, diverse talk, and music of the world. It's more than radio, it's community radio, on the web at KOPN.org. Thought Crime Radio on KOPN with Rich and Janelle, or Janelle and Rich, as you please.
And howdy.
We are in the studio on a rainy Monday evening, and we have a lot to talk about relating to the human rights of babies, which is all too often neglected but crucial subject, especially in Western culture, which has Western obstetrical practices have no respect, very little respect for the natural processes of birth and the psychological impacts of interference in natural birthing processes and the imprinting of trauma, the effects of imprinting of trauma on babies and on the adults that they become. So we have been doing this show for about, 2 months now, and there's just no end of material. It's just remarkable. If you go to our website at thoughtcrimeradio.blogspot.com and look on the right side of the page under Munchausen Obstetrics, you'll see a long series of fairly destructive things that happen during a typical hospital birth in this country. And you can let your imagination run wild as far as the impacts of some of these things. But the fact is, you don't need to use your imagination. All this is fairly thoroughly researched. The neurological impacts of some of these interventions have already been well established, and they're utterly ignored by public health authorities in this country. In fact, one of the guests we'll be having on, hopefully about a month or so, Dr. James Prescott, did extensive research on the effects of sensory deprivation on the developing infant's brain and the effects that that has on the violence of the resulting adult. But anyway, Janelle has an article to share with us, which I think summarizes the level of social dysfunction institutionalized in our political process in this country, relating specifically to the welfare of children and mothers.
Yeah, this is an article that came out today. Well, it's dated November 13th, and it's the title is U.S. Army Sends Infant to Protective Services Mom to Afghanistan. And this is a really relevant piece of news for us to talk about today in connection with our guest who will be on, who is Star Newland. And Star and I co-wrote the Safe Baby Resolution for the state of Hawaii in 2007. And I was writing that during the time that my son went to was going to Iraq, and I was crying and grieving on the floor, literally, and I would get up and I would begin to write about how can we make the world a safer place, how can we make people who do not want to go to war and get rid of the need for war. And so Star's on today. I'm really excited about that. Star has an initiative called the Domestic Harmony Initiative, and this is the 10th anniversary. She started it 10 years ago, and both of us have been working in the field of preventing, we like to say creating harmony, creating healthy, harmonious human beings from the beginning of life rather than preventing violence. We would like to eliminate that phrase from our culture, because as soon as we start talking about preventing violence, we're accepting violence, we're looking at what we don't want. And this article today just really, really struck me, because this woman has an 11-month-old baby, and her mother, after all, was not able to take care of the baby because she's caring for an elderly mother and a sister. So this woman did not show up when her unit left for Afghanistan because she could not find care for her baby. And she was arrested, and they took the baby away from her and put the baby in foster care. And she's being deployed to Afghanistan to be court-martialed over in Afghanistan and then to be jailed for a year.
And meanwhile, her child is in child custody, child protective services, so to speak,
and
which
this
is, of course, a profit-making enterprise, the way it's run in this country. It's very profitable to be involved in child protective services, and you get remunerated on the basis of the number of children in your care. So there's all kinds of conflicts of interest right there.
Yeah, and the issue, this case just has so many issues to discuss beyond like whether or not we should be there and whether or not women should be in the military. And yes, it's a volunteer army, and she signed up. And but you know what? The bottom line is that it's an example of how this country does not honor the maternal child bonding, which is the core of who we are. It's the core of relationships. It's the core of the family. It's the core of the community. It's the core of our country. When human beings are able to come onto this planet through their mother and be connected to her in a loving, positive way, we change the planet. I mean, and we know through research, Prescott, we know that the first year of life is critical. This baby being taken from his mother is ripping something in this child that will never be regained.
Never heal.
I mean, it's possible, because that's the work that I do. It's possible, but like, our society does not even embrace that this baby needs to be with his mother.
Yeah, is it really necessary to even argue this case? This baby is 11 months old, okay? I don't care what the Army says, or whether this woman did, you know, dotted all her I's and crossed all her T's. You know, this baby belongs with his mother. But it's become normalized in this society to separate mothers and babies.
In the first minutes, in the first seconds of life.
But even beyond that, for the first, women many women are working full-time jobs, and they have to leave babies in daycare with strangers, and, just a series of strangers go through young children's lives. And, you know, which of these strangers is someone that he or she can trust and bond with, you know?
The thing is that if the child does not bond with the mother and at the beginning of life, this child will unlikely be capable of creating any sort of support and connected relationships with anybody.
Yeah, we are not supporting the neurological basis for empathy and compassion. We are throwing it out. And this child, you know, I mean, it's just incredible.
This is just one child, too. The attorney for this woman said he usually doesn't go public with these cases, but he had to. And I want to start moving towards bringing Star on, because Star is a dolphin researcher, and she is in Hawaii, clearly. We're in rainy Missouri, cold Missouri, and she's in sunny Hawaii. She works with the Navy there. She's working on some programs using dolphins for post-traumatic stress disorder with soldiers that are returning. She was just at a meeting today when I talked to her, something about trauma. She's creating a dolphin birth in Hawaii, where people are coming over to Hawaii and they are giving birth in the water with the dolphins, and the dolphins are amazing. And she's creating a pod community over there based on the dolphin families and communities and how the dolphins work, and she's recreating that. So she has a lot of things that she's doing. But she's on today because November is Domestic Harmony Month in Hawaii. And she has been working at this for 10 years, and she's going to share with us what's going on. And it totally relates today to this piece of news, and she can tell us about domestic harmony and how we can create healthy, harmonious people from the beginning of life, and then we will not have war.
It's really striking to me that this research is so directly applicable to military people whose lives have been shattered by the atrocities of war. You know.
So let's bring her
let's
on.
Let's bring her on. Okay, so right.
Rich is the pilot today. Yep, the green light.
Press it.
Yep. Star.
Can you hear us? Are you there?
Aloha.
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 It's so good to hear your voice.
Thank you, likewise. A couple of points. One, it's raining here.
Aww.
It's been raining since last Wednesday, Domestic Harmony Awareness Day, 11/11, Remembrance Day and Armistice Day and Veterans Day. We had our 10th annual celebration or eruption of domestic harmony in Pahoa, which inspired me 10 years ago to start this. So we had our big eruption of domestic harmony, and it's been raining ever since. So I'm sitting here out in the car after that amazing workshop I took this morning, which I would like to share a little bit about with your audience.
Sure.
In the rain. So I hope everyone can hear me while I'm in my car with the cell phone.
We hear you fine.
You're great.
Perfect. Our project, what we call the Interspecies Birth Cohort, is about exactly what you identified. However, we have yet to manage to have a woman in the water giving birth at the same time the dolphins were there. I'm the closest one I personally know of, and I wound up giving birth on a beach in Pune to my second child, and there were hundreds of dolphins out there in anticipation of his birth, and they had a baby dolphin born at the same time, so somehow they all knew they were happening together. But we're working on bringing people over, inviting people over to experience dolphins before, during, and after the birth, and further on as a longitudinal study to see what influence this could have and to also see if there's a special kind of communications that takes place between the children and the dolphins.
So you're saying basically the dolphins really reach out to birthing mothers in the water. Basically, they're initiating this contact, and we're responding to it, basically, right?
Yes. Well, I think, you know, well, it's an interesting point you raise, Rich. Are we initiating the contact through our intention and our desire to be with the dolphins, and are they responding to us? Or are they reaching into certain women and their babies and saying, we have a connection with you, and then inspiring it from that side of it? It's still an open question, really, but a good one.
It's certainly a compelling notion to think that we can have such a deep level of interspecies communication that we're you know, sharing each other's birthing experiences. This is amazing.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty fascinating. Actually, many years ago, I started my group, the Sirius Institute, a dolphin, whale, and space research consortium, as a part of a screenplay I had written, and it was about a woman and a dolphin mom giving birth to their respective babies within a 24-hour period of each other so that they're in the water together and getting ready to give birth together. And I think, you know, we're mammals, first of all of us, and that's a common bond between mothers and their babies. And the dolphins feel, as far as we can tell, and reports from others like Elena Tinetti and Igor Tcherkovsky and Estelle Myers and numbers of other leaders in this field, that they have this connection with the kids that are coming in. They'll even come back year after year to be in the water with the children when they return again. So, yeah, it's innate. I feel it's innate across our species, humans and dolphins and different kinds of mammals, to have a strong sense of connectivity with life and with nature and with creatures of the world, like ourselves.
And, yeah, mammals. where we come from, which we all too easily forget.
Oh, yeah, well, part of the work of the Sirius Institute is in exploring our what we consider to be our true nature as aquatic mammals. And that's different than the aquatic apes, and it's different than, you know, the tree people or something like that, the savanna walkers. But there's compelling reason to look at us again evolutionarily to see whether we are actually meant to be more aquatic mammals, which means being born into water, being raised in water substantially. It means a lot in terms of the development of the brain and the neural connections that take place when an infant is born buoyant into water, because it replicates the uterine environment. And when that happens, that life and the subtle structures of the brain that we're developing in the womb are actually maintained when we're born into a buoyant environment and when we have opportunity in that environment over a period of time to keep those subtle structures going. We wonder who humans are and how we really are when we're born and raised this way in more what we consider to be optimal conditions. And what are our true capabilities? What is our true orientation? And what is our real connection and relationship with the rest of life and water life especially? Who are we to the dolphins? Who are they to us, for example?
Yeah, if we know where we come from, then we're halfway to being who we really are.
Exactly. It helps bring about a tremendous sense of security to know that, oh, yes, I feel right. I feel secure. I feel like this is a natural thing for me.
We have a place in this universe.
We always did. It's just for us to remember and then, you know, make our way back to it again.
So how do the dolphins and babies respond to each other in the water?
Well, we've been out just a few times with mothers and their babies and dolphins, and they love it. They love it. With the pregnant moms, the dolphins often come around when we go out on boats or when we swim out from the shore. The dolphins definitely seem to single out the pregnant moms. And, you know, in some cases, you know, they even know the lady's pregnant and respond accordingly to her before she knows she's pregnant.
Wow. Well, it seems from a practical perspective, just the difference in having a water birth, whether there are dolphins around or not, creates an opportunity for a transition from the womb so that the baby leaves the womb into a larger body of water and then is more gently brought up into this world. It seems like that would make a big difference. I know the people who are just, their babies are born in water, it's all over, you know, the research is out there and the anecdotal stories about the babies and how they are in the water.
And the mother's holding the baby, you know.
Yes, it's kind of natural, and we know from Igor Tarkovsky that, and others, that, you know, babies will suckle underwater. Human babies will suckle underwater. How amazing is that?
Wow.
For people who are interested in more information about water birthing, Dr. Michael Heisen, our research director, wrote a really wonderful piece entitled "How a Water Birth Affects the Baby's Brain," and he talks about it in terms of the gravity and what changes and, again, the neural connections and the ease and the comfort of the mom. Of course, what we know now, silly us, it took thousands of years to remember, but, you know, the easier it is for the mom, the easier it is for the baby. Duh. No, that's it. So we need to be focusing and concentrating on helping the mom throughout our gestation, which is part of the focus of the Domestic Harmony Awareness Initiative and has been from the beginning. And how the baby benefits from that. We know through Joseph Chilton Pierce and his research and his amazing books too that it takes the average American baby up to 6 months to have its first smile. And he attributes this to the difficulty in the Western hospital birth that most of our children experience.
My God, when you 6 months.
Oh, yeah. Well, I thought, you know, I would have told you this right now. But yeah, this is true. So if it takes 6 months to dump or to somehow pacify or integrate these stressor neurochemicals that are being generated, well, that sets the child's development neurochemically and developmentally, you know, kind of back 6 months, because they're busy processing this stuff. They're busy taking this load off of their very new, very gentle, very still developing nervous system.
Well, it's actually a kink in the system that doesn't get undone unless you make the intention to go in and heal that early period of time.
You can spend your entire life trying to compensate for that developmental period.
Because that's from conception forward, we are in one long continuum of development that never ends.
Yes.
Every moment, and in every moment, there is so much going on that we are like the tip of the iceberg. We may be able to see on day such and such of gestation, the nervous system wires up with the brain, with the heart, or the hearing comes online, or this structure is developed. But that is just, it's like a pinpoint in the universe, or it's like just a part of the tip of the iceberg. We really don't know what is going on within the being. And so every one of these developmental stages, so every moment from, you know, this violence at birth, and then missing the contact with the mother, and then there's no eye contact, and then the brain just, the brain of the human being never gets what it needs. And I like it when you talk about how we have yet to find out what our full human potential is. And, you know, if you think about it, all of the scales that we have to measure intelligence or personality or achievement, all of these tests were scored and normed on human beings who were who experienced drugs at birth, who experienced violent birth. So I think that we're finding that the babies that are born at home, the babies that are born in the water, are just excelling at all sorts of things.
So how is it that this information is still not recognized in standard obstetrics? Do you have any ideas?
Well, you know, I know from people's experiences here on our island, and I'll refrain from naming names of any institutions, let's say, but I'm pretty shocked at the lack of awareness / caring / interest in some areas in finding out more about this. I've been here for 19 years working on this. The Domestic Harmony Awareness Initiative is 10 years old, and still to this day, I hear stories. Like when someone over in one of the other hospitals said she wanted to have a midwife at her birth, the doctor looked at her, lady doctor, who is new, and said, God, what do you think this is, the Middle Ages or something? I heard that. I was like, oh, my God, where is this doctor coming from? A lady doctor on top of that.
That's amazing.
And yeah, and in seeing and hearing other people's birth stories and how the babies are taken from the moms still, even after a natural birth, and taken away and put in isolation behind the glass, to coin a phrase from Jeanette.
Yes, I mean, since
behind the glass, and left there while the nurses do their notes and wait for the doctor to come in. Meanwhile, that whole limbic imprint, the whole thing of the mom, the baby bonding, the titty, the suckle, the warmth, the skin to skin, all of that is
lost.
Overlooked completely. Yeah.
Are you familiar with James Prescott's research?
Yes, I'm quite familiar with that.
There's a website called violence.de. This website is based in Germany, DE. Uh-huh. So, but if you go go to that website, you can find a chronology of just an outrageous cover-up at the National Institutes of Health of Prescott's research, groundbreaking research into the effects of sensory deprivation and mother deprivation on infants and the connection with aggression and violence in the adult.
Sure.
And this is you know, it's unconscionable that they went out of their way to suppress this research. This is like you know, an atom bomb going off every day in our society of newly traumatized people who grow up to, you know, become drug addicts and criminals and can't, you know, deal with school because they're totally, you know, they're in a state of post-traumatic stress, which is never acknowledged.
Exactly. Well, it's interesting that I happened to take this workshop this morning, and it's called Re-Energizing the Traumatized Brain in Children with Dr. Stephen Choi, who is over in Oahu. And he spent like 30 years finding out all kinds of things, although it's different than he got into the whole thing about birth and pre-birth like I do. But he picks it up on remediation. He picks it up on restoration. And the good news is much of this, especially if we start early on, can be, I want to say, quote, fixed. There are ways to help integrate early childhood experiences, just like Elena Tinetti talks about when we integrate our limbic imprint. The good news is the brain and our emotional bodies are remarkably resilient. And it's important for us to remember this so that even in the face of something that's happened that looks like it's, oh my gosh, over the top, there are ways to help. And the thing about the birth experience and the hospital thing, I had a lot of my own personal clearing to do about this because the whole thing was separation at birth and then what, you're out there on your own and you're kind of cut off from everything. But what I've been working with is that from the inner levels, i.e. telepathically or however you want to identify it, it's important for the adults involved in situations like this to reach out inside to the infant, to let them know that you're there, you're aware of what's happened, but that your love is still connecting you. Because I feel deeply that the infant knows this. It experiences it. And when it feels the thought from the mother or the thought from the grandmother or father, whomever, that they have that direct connection reestablished. So that even though the physical thing is happening, at the inner levels, the connection is still maintained. And I feel like that would make a big difference if we applied this more consistently across the board.
Absolutely.
And let our children know that we're here, even though this is happening. Maybe part of the reason these things are happening is so that we, the mothers and the families, can be more conscious about what we're representing, what we're putting out to our children.
And a key thing there is that the parents have to deal with the experience that they experienced. They have to heal that and integrate that themselves so that they can support their baby to integrate.
Yes, exactly.
People will tell their birth story, especially women will tell their birth story in very intense stories, and fathers usually don't get to tell their version, and the baby doesn't get to tell their perspective and their experience of this, of the same experience that they all shared. So it's really important that the adults have the opportunity to resolve it. And babies, in my experience, are all about it. They are ready to heal. If the parents are ready to heal, the baby is ready to heal. It's usually the adults who are not able to deal with the traumatic experience. And we need to take a break right now.
Okay.
And let people know that we're listening to 89.5 FM, and we're talking to Star Newland from Hawaii, the Domestic Harmony Awareness Initiative. And a little known factoid here in Colombia, not everyone knows that the cure for the blues is more blues. Good blues is good, good blues is good therapy. If you have the blues, you don't need an appointment or a prescription. Heck, you don't even need to stop by. KOPN makes house calls. Just tune your radio to 89.5 every Saturday night from 8 to 11 for your weekly treatment. It's the Blues on Broadway show, bringing blues therapy right to your door.
And Emotions Anonymous is a 12-step program for emotional wellness and for learning to live with unsolved problems, such as what we're talking about here, right? The group meets every Monday in the Community United Methodist Church at 3301 West Broadway in Columbia. Elizabeth has more information at 875-8165.
So, Star, in the last 20 minutes, or the next 20 minutes, could you tell us what all is going on there and tell us about your Domestic Harmony Initiative? And I was actually hoping that you might talk a little bit about why it is that you focus on domestic harmony.
Well, that's a good question. Let me start with that. Why do I focus on domestic harmony? Well, it started years ago when I met a lady who told me that she worked at a shelter, a DV shelter over in Oahu, and she was teaching women about domestic violence. And when I heard that, I thought, holy moly, you should be teaching them about domestic harmony. They already know about domestic violence. And in that moment, literally, the concept of domestic harmony awareness came to be. It was born, literally. And the reason for that is because, especially in all these 10 years plus since then, what our culture focuses on is the domestic violence and the peace marches and going for peace and everything. But the truth is, peace is already after the fact of war. The truth is, alternatives to violence and, you know, helping people deal with their aggression and everything is already after the fact. I had yet to come across anywhere that people were dealing consistently with what we consider to be our natural state, which is one of balance and harmony. And when we're birthed right, when we're gestated well, it starts before that, of course, with conception and preconception, and how the mother is taking care of herself and the father-to-be, how all of that plays into it in terms of the kinds of eggs we're generating, the kinds of sperm that are being created, the kind of life energy that's coming in to create new life. Well, in a natural way, when we have all the good stuff that we're meant to have as human being mammals, then we start off life like in a good way. It's pretty easy. We get along with each other. We're good with the land. We know how to, you know, keep our trash up. I mean, just the basic things of being a conscious human being are more naturally in place when we're conceived, gestated, and raised this way. I brought this initiative into the world because I want to restore our human condition to its natural way. And that's the heart of it, because, like I said, everything else is after the fact. But it would be so much easier if we did it right from the beginning. We look at auxiliary costs in our county and in our state of Hawaii, for example, in the county of Hawaii. When we take into consideration the immense amount of resources that go into after the fact, after someone's wounded, after they're damaged, after that child's brain is traumatized, either through domestic violence, abuse, or sexual molesting, and all the things that we just covered today. And the cost of the human beings whose lives are damaged, whose relationships are traumatized, who have trust issues and closeness issues, all of this could be definitely prevented.
And addiction issues.
And addictions, well, self-medication here is big time. Suicide, teen suicides in our state are the highest in the country. What's wrong here? Why are the children so traumatized that the only way out that they can see is to take themselves out? We have a crisis. We have an epidemic across our country, across the planet, that we go to reactive states, reactive modes, because we're suffering post-traumatic stress disorder. Like Stephanie Mines talks about, we're all born in stress. We're all born in shock. And it's true. And then we're continuing the patterns. And the children who are born like this, i.e. practically all of us, repeat those patterns throughout life until we wake up, till something happens, till there's some kind of intervention, an appropriate intervention that helps us, you know, put the ghost to rest.
Helps us to accept this and move on. The tragedy, one of the tragedies of what you're describing is that it can take many decades to get past one's own childhood trauma, long after you would normally become a parent. I mean, parents, you know, people have children, you know, in their 20s and 30s when they're still not really past their own trauma, and they frequently reenact, you know, there's a cycle involved here.
Well, I would add to that our society in psychology, medicine, counseling, religion does not even acknowledge the primal period as the core period for who we are. Does not acknowledge birth trauma, so that most of us are parented, and most of us become young adults and parent in the shadow of this wounding that is never acknowledged by our society.
Well, we discussed that today too, in the multi-generational aspects of trauma and abuse. And again, there is a lot of awareness. I'm heartened after 10 years, you know, that there is more interest and focus and awareness on the things that the Domestic Harmony Awareness Initiative is bringing to, you know, the government, to our agencies, to our advocates and people out in the community, expectant moms.
There's an awful lot of resistance to this.
Tell me about it. Yes. There's a lot of resistance to change.
Tell us more about what you are doing at the city and the government level, because you are doing it in Hawaii.
Well, you know, I'm taking it step by step and day by day and inspiration by inspiration. We have, for example, wonderful proclamations from the mayors of all the islands, which will soon be on planetpuna.com as part of our, you know, our awareness initiative website up there. So one thing that's changing is we're getting them to say the right words to the people of the islands that they represent and reflect, that domestic harmony and aloha and multi-generational good feelings, all these kinds of things are important to us. So that's part of what I'm doing, is getting us together, the public servants and we, the people of the community, on the same page at the same time. So we have shared thoughts, unified field of consciousness, if you will, that this is important and this is what we're going for. For several years now, we've had the Gentle Birth Month proclamation from our mayor and our two mayors now, our new mayor on this island, and that's in May. And, of course, Gentle Birthday is Mother's Day. And I'm working on it this year now to have the mayors of all of the islands come on board with us for Gentle Birth Month and Gentle Birthday. So again, unifying the fields of consciousness, that people can say, wow, our mayor feels this way about this, our governor feels this way about this, the Navy at Barking Sands on Kauai feels this way about this, that these are important qualities and attributes that we are ready now to accept and to communicate to our constituents. So that's the first element, is to get the leaders of the people saying, yeah, we need to take a look at this, and yes, this is important. And then I work with people like in the prosecutor's office and in the police department. I recently took a week-long training with Homeland Security, an official certified domestic violence instructor trainer. In September, we did this here. And this was the first time they ever heard about domestic harmony, and I was wondering if I would even be accepted into their program, because it was for prosecutors, police, tribal peace officers, advocates, and people like that. So I was pretty thrilled when they made a place at the table for domestic harmony. Because, again, first of all, it's prevention. It's solution-oriented, number one. And number two, the program that I'm working on now is that recently we had a little girl who, you know, who had a horrific death at the hands of an adult male and everything. And my idea and my program is to have an eruption of domestic harmony in those environments after the fact, regretfully, but at least to help the people involved start rebuilding, start creating their life towards what they want. We have bumper stickers that I just got a new order of them and gave them out the last several days. And those bumper stickers, they just say yes to domestic harmony. And if you drive around on our island, you'll see all kinds of bumper stickers that say there's no excuse for domestic violence, or just say no to domestic violence. But as soon as we're talking about that, we're keep generating the thought form and the neurochemicals that are generated when we say words and when we think words. So the converse of that is true, too. When we think about domestic harmony and we start actions towards more domestic harmony, then lo and behold, we're generating better pictures of our life. We're generating better pictures of the expectations that we have about life. We're generating healthier neurochemicals in our body that are helping us to feel more comfortable, more at ease in life, and thereby help create a better life for ourselves.
It makes total sense.
Completely.
Yeah, and
that's
and
the beauty that it makes total sense.
And so when you're saying you focus on domestic harmony as a prevention, we're like, yeah, yeah. And then inevitably it seems to get lost when people think of taking action. So I know you've really worked hard over there, so I'm glad to hear that this group that you were with the domestic all the police officers and paramedics and those people that are out there on the front line, and they see the violence. So it's somehow in that translation, there's a translation problem, though, in saying, like, well, let's create domestic harmony. Well, everybody says, oh, yeah, that feels good. Well, yeah, I want that.
How do you do it?
Well, how do we do it? Well, first of all, we work with education. We work with the idea that change begins with your thoughts. We just recently had the, domestic violence vigil here, which we have every October across the country, I'm sure, for National Domestic Violence Day, or Awareness Month, rather. And so at the vigil, thanks in part, or largely to my inspiration, this year the focus was change begins with a thought. I have allies throughout these different agencies and organizations now who are completely behind me on what I'm doing and by my side now. Before they were behind me, now they're by my side. We're standing together.
Great.
To create the idea that, wait a minute, you can do something about this. You can start directing your thoughts and your awareness and your attention to what we want. This is why our ribbons for domestic harmony are what we call domestic harmony green. It's a bright neon green ribbon, and it represents new life and new beginnings when we just say yes to domestic harmony. And when you're sitting in traffic and you come behind one of our bumper stickers and you're seeing just say yes to domestic harmony, it starts people thinking, what is that? What does it mean? How would I get some? So right away,
I want
we're
some.
Starting with changing. Pardon me?
I want some.
I know. I'm getting a new order. After our interview, I'm going over to see a lady with a fabulous burger joint here in Hilo, and she wants to order some and put them out and give them out to our customers. And that's a big step. I've given out, like, over, I think, 12 or 15,000 bumper stickers over the years. on this island, on all the islands, and across the country and other countries, just to get the words and the thought out. We start with that. And then I do events having to do with gentle birth and presenting videos and midwives and doulas talking about the gestational environment and the birthing experience and why that's critical. Because once we understand collectively that, whoa, what happens before, during, and after birth actually matters, then I feel it would be easier for us to raise consciousness, to be more aware of that. So this year, for the Domestic Harmony Awareness Initiative 2009-2010, we're making a big drive towards promoting the whole thing of pre-birth and birth and after-birth experience. On this island, because we only have like 175,000 people, I feel that it would be pretty easy overall anyway, I'm working on it, to bring this awareness across the island, to make it something that, wow, for the month before May and May, that people are coming to our movies, they're coming to hear talks, they're being a little more conscious, or a lot more conscious, hopefully, to the pregnant women that they see, at least sending good thoughts their way. And if people understand that it could be something as simple as sending a good thought to someone else, that thought matters. People feel those thoughts. They feel your feelings. We talked about this again in the workshop today, having to do with what's called mirror neurons.
So we've talked about that.
What you're feeling or what I'm feeling and generating, radiating out other people's mirror neurons, that's why they call them mirrors, are picking this up. So when we see a lady who's pregnant and maybe sense that, oh, she could be in a better situation, we could send good thoughts, we could send aloha, we could send warmth, we could send our prayers to that mom and her baby that are coming. And start with something that everybody's fully capable of doing.
Or just help her out, let her park closer to the grocery store or whatever.
I like what you're saying, because pregnant women tell me all the time that they get really, really tired of hearing, you know, when's your baby due? Is it a boy? Is it a girl? Oh, you're not getting a sonogram? Well, why, you know, and people don't want to talk about home birth.
Is going to be circumcised?
What you can do is just be quiet and send her love. Send love to the baby.
Yeah. With the pod project, to come full circle to the pod project, you know, when a dolphin mom is pregnant, everybody's there, they all help each other in the way that we would like it to be for humans. And so for each pregnant lady that I work with, I do my utmost to help her connect with her pod. Who are the people who are there for her and her baby? Who are the people who are part of that prearranged circle of life? So when the mom is getting help, when people are taking care of her, when she has a doula who's helping her throughout her gestation, then the baby automatically and naturally is feeling, hey, mom's happy, mom's feeling good. These people are here. I recognize this voice sound kind of, I know mom feels good when she hears that, and I feel all that. All these things matter.
Yes, we need
to be more conscious that all of these inputs matter. And this, in turn, helps the baby say, wow, life is so good. I want to get out and meet these people, which thereby helps the mother have an easier birth. When your baby wants to be born, it's an easier birth.
That's amazing.
And we know this from research. We know this from Janelle's work and the things that she shared with me as we were redoing the Safe Baby Resolution, that it matters. And the PART Project is here to help that baby and mom feel support from life, to feel that life is good, life is safe, life is secure. I want to come out. I want to experience this more now.
You know, one of the things that we run up against routinely in this topic is the claim that this is not scientific, that this is just hippie.
Well, that's bull.
Yeah, it is bull.
That's
we know that.
We know that. But
whenever someone answers that, you say, well, you know what? That's just bull. Go find out for yourself. Go find the research. Or better yet, send them your immensely huge bibliographies that show all of this now. I think it's time to call this whole other side of it to the line.
Yeah.
And say, look, you guys know what's going on. We know what's going on.
And you're letting this happen.
There is proof, and you're, in fact, you know, that's kind of what we would call like criminal negligence.
Absolutely.
At a legal level, that is criminally negligent to allow these actions and these attitudes to continue because we know better. Up until like 10 years ago when this Dr. Choi was talking today, he said a lot of the information he learned 30 years ago, oh, it's just like really basic, but in 10 years now we have proof. We have data, we have hard data.
We have brain research in the 90s.
We have brain research. We can pinpoint exactly during the mom's gestation when she was traumatized by the damage in the baby's brain. Okay, so when they say this is hippie stuff, this is like, you know, anecdotal bull. Bull. And bring them to the table.
Yeah,
and say,
absolutely. Take
you
them.
You are accountable.
Absolutely. Where is your conscience? Where is your conscience that you could pretend to be an authority figure without even bothering to look at the research?
And yeah, failing to look.
We have about 5 minutes, and I was wondering if you could address it's in this community and in every community, I'm sure we have a very strong group of people who are peace activists. Speaking of hippies.
Right.
Yeah, and I find that it's challenging to connect the birth to how we can create peace in our community. And you might have touched on that, but could you speak about that? I mean, how is it that us doing this can in fact create a peaceful community and prevent war?
Okay, well, for starts, I would go back, as I said earlier on, once you're looking at peace, it's already too late, because peace comes after the fact of war. And so we are preemptive. We are coming back. We are asking people to come back and recognize and identify and create our natural state, which is to be born in a harmonious way and to be raised appropriately as mammals. Marine mammals or otherwise, aquatic mammals or otherwise, it still matters. We have certain things that we need as mammals for appropriate mammalian bonding. When we have these things done right, and again, we covered this in the workshop, so it's really fresh, but I've been working with this for many years. When we do these things right, then we have harmony. We still have to think about stopping war, because who would even think about war? Why would we think about war? War comes out of the innate, but the created trauma and aggressive state, the raging that goes in the mind of people who've been traumatized and abused and suffering from PTSD, whether it's from gestational experiences or from birth trauma or what happens early on as children.
Yeah, it's not immediately obvious how individual experiences of trauma and the resulting aggression get translated into state-sponsored, you know, state activities. But, you know, these things are being studied, you know, on complexity theory.
Well, as above, so below. As below, so above. Okay, that's how it gets translated. You have people who are angry. You have boys who've been circumcised, who perceive an abandonment by their mom that allowed this violence to be done to them. Rest assured, those boys are pretty angry in their brains. And now we can do through, you know, benign observation, through MRIs and things, we can see what parts of the brain are activated and triggered to this effect. Now, if we want to change this, then we have to, again, come back to our roots as mammals, and what do we need to make the right neural connections to generate the appropriate neurochemicals to have children grow up in a bonded way so that they feel like, what, me go kill somebody? You must be out of your mind. Why would I ever even think of that? And when we have enough people like this, then our leadership has to reflect this all across the world. When someone says, you know, I will fight, well, we would sculpt it. Zero fight anymore for this, okay? Zero fighting. Fighting is an alien thing. We have to realize that it's natural for us to get along first. Our eruptions of domestic harmony, which we've just been holding, help people come together to create an eruption which can be described as a violent bursting forth. But, you know, we've been layered over so much with domestic violence that DV that, abuse and all of this, that, you know, domestic harmony does want to burst forth. People want to get together with other people who want the same thing. And what do we want? We want to get along. We want our children to be good.
And
we want life to be satisfying.
We have such capacity for creating paradise here on Earth, in Hawaii.
We totally do. Even
in mid-Missouri on a rainy Monday night, you know. We have what we need to create whole human beings and functional communities and you know, all the social issues that we are dealing with every day. They're totally unnecessary, and we know now how to get past all of this. We know how to do it.
So reaching out one by one. This is what my work is on the island. I've met over the years now several thousands of people. Maybe I only have 152,000 people to go.
So
I'm doing it. But all my people are doing it too.
Have you had any luck approaching the local hospital, you know, maternity wards and obstetrical practitioners?
I have midwife friends, and I do interact through the midwife people because they're engaged with them on an ongoing basis. I have gone to meetings with them all, and I know they read about me in the papers or hear me on the radio or whatever, here locally. And I know they're being reached that way. I got to say, I'm one person with many allies, so I'm working with my allies to spread the word as well. And like I said, we do a lot of media things here. I do a lot of community events. We just did a sustainability fair out in Pune. And one thing I'm working on is a campaign of green people. Because on this island and other places, we talk about sustainable life and sustainable, you know, communities and stuff. But I'm saying first we need to talk about sustainable human beings, the green people, the people who are already heart-centered and heart-balanced from the beginning. Because we know through resonance and through quantum physics that when you have a child who's resonating high energies, they had all the good right stuff from the beginning, that child in turn again is mirroring their energy off of other people, and they're sending it out that way. I feel ultimately there are more subtle ways to help spread this, and I work a lot with the subtle ways, the harmonics of consciousness, and how we can extend that through our own individuality. So for the people in Missouri, get together with Janelle or get in touch with me through planetkuna@yahoo.com, and I will help you have an eruption of domestic harmony. I will help you spread this so that you can rest assured that the energy and the intention and the reasons behind this are being shared and are being distributed throughout our culture.
Well, thank you so much, Dar, for joining us. This has been really informative.
And great for me, too. Thank you. I loved it. Thank
I know you've been on KOPN before several times with Hagen in at late night, but this is your first time to be with us, and I really appreciate the being with us. And this is awesome. I hope that we have an eruption of domestic harmony right here.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you
so
much.
So I'll help you. I'll send you bumper stickers and ribbons.
Awesome.
And we'll get the consciousness going because it's easy. People want this. You see, it would be different if we were trying to promote or push something contrary to human desire and nature. But what I find is over and over and over again, people want to know more. They want to live a life that they came for. And part of this is to help re-inspire the will of our human species to want to live.
Isn't that amazing?
To have delight. It's starting to pour now because I'm starting to cry.
Aww.
Okay? Because this is what we came for, the human experience.
We did.
And to have better. To have it better for our children.
Children should be embracing.
And we're saying yes to domestic harmony.
Yes.
Well, we're saying yes to it.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed, you are.
You know,
Thank you always.
The tech guys for the next show are waiting in the wings here, and so it's almost the end of the hour, and we really have to move on.
And we're gonna go out with a song. We have a phone ringing.
Yeah, the phone ringing.
we're gonna go out with "Beautiful Baby" or "Beautiful Boy" by
thank you
by John Lennon, and that song.